Let's have a word of prayer before we turn to God's word. Father, we want to thank you this morning that we come before a living God who's perfect in his dealings with the sons of men. Father, would you deal with us this morning through your word? We thank you that your word is perfect. Every command you give is flawless. Lord, we want to thank you for the perfection of the word of God. Father, would you make it live to us this morning, we pray, as we look at it now. Amen. 1 Chronicles 27, you're probably there before me, but just really one verse, and then we're going to look at some verses from 2 Samuel 15. Verse 33 of 1 Chronicles 27 says this: Ahithophel was counselor to the king, and Hushai the Archite was the king's friend. Real distinction there between these two men. One was the counselor to the king, but one was the king's friend. And that really determined the path that they would take. Because turn to 2 Samuel 15, please, from verse 30. Simon read some of this last week, and this is what the Lord's put on my heart, really, just to continue something of this, I suppose. And David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives. The context here, the background is that David has been being rejected as king by the people of Israel, who have taken the side of Absalom, his son, who has conspired to take the throne from David. And David, rather than stay and fight and see lots of bloodshed, decides he needs to get out of Jerusalem. And this is the story here. And David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went, and his head was covered, and he walked barefoot. Then all the people who were with him each covered his head and went up weeping as they went. Now someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray, make the counsel of Ahithophel foolishness. It happened as David was coming to the summit where David was where God was worshipped, that behold, Hushai the Archite met him with his coat torn and dust on his head. And David said to him, if you pass over with me, then you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I have been your servant, father's servant in the time past, so I will now be your servant, then you can thwart the counsel of Ahithophel for me. Are not Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, with you there? So it shall be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall report to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, their two sons are with them, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them you shall send me everything that you hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Excuse me while I have a quick drink. So friends, we see here the account of two men, both working for King David, both in the service of the king, but only one remained loyal. Only one stayed true to the king. That was the one who was the king's friend, the friend of the king. And that's on my heart this morning. The burden on my heart this morning is to give us a challenge, friends. Are we friends of the king this morning? Are we true and loyal? Are we going to be true and loyal to the king in all the days that lie ahead, in whatever they may bring? Suspect quite difficult times for those who want to stay true to the king and his word. The Lord is looking for those who will befriend him. Just as David needed friends to stand by him when he was being rejected and leaving Jerusalem, so God is looking today. The Lord Jesus is looking for those who will stand with him. He is King of Kings, friends. And yet, the wonderful thing is, you and I can be friends to the King of Kings. Isn't that marvelous? Absolutely wonderful. But I want to look, before I look at that, just look at Ahithophel briefly, just to see something, learn a lesson from him. Here was a man who was much elevated in Israel. It says of him in 2 Samuel 16 and verse 23, the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one inquired of the word of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel regarded by both David and Absalom, a man who was elevated. But sadly, friends, here was a man whose heart was not attached to the king, a man whose heart was not engaged with the king, a man who's never committed himself to the king. Ahithophel, I have to say, loved himself. He loved his position. He was not prepared to put that aside to serve the king or to be a friend of the king. And when the opportunity came to stand with the king in a time of difficulty, he was found wanting. He was found wanting because he loved his position, and he saw an opportunity for himself with Absalom coming into the city. He'd already been summoned by Absalom, actually. If you read the whole few chapters here, Absalom conspiring, winning the hearts of the people, drew 200 men for himself, and then he called for Ahithophel, who in innocence, it said, went. But he had an opportunity to stand with King David, and he chose not to. He chose to go with Absalom. He saw an opportunity for himself, I believe. Friends, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not the first love of your life, you will be found out. I'm talking to us as believers, friends. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not the love of your life, if he's not your friend this morning, a true friend, then you will be found out. And I can guarantee that will happen because the Lord wants you to love him with all your heart and be his true friend. He doesn't want you to have other things in the way. Whatever they may be, we may have lots of things that are vying for our heart's love and adoration. But friends, we need to watch our hearts and guard that we don't give our allegiance to another. Be that a person, be that a thing, be that our family even. As much as we love our families and they are dear to us, that must not come before the Lord. He must be the first love of your life. And the Lord will test us in this. He will test you and he will test me. Let me just read these verses, sobering verses from Deuteronomy, if I can find them. Deuteronomy 13. If you can turn to there, do. If you can't, just listen. This is what God was telling the people of Israel in preparation for when they were coming into the land of Israel after they left Egypt and gone through the desert. He said, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you. He is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. The Lord will test our love for him, friends. Just as our faith is tested, the Lord will test our allegiance to him. Ahithophel and Hushai were tested. One was found out because his heart had never been engaged. His heart had never been committed to the Lord. And I'm speaking to some of you, I know this morning, you've gone through your Christian life perhaps, or you're on the edge of it, and your heart has never been given to the Lord fully. Friends, can I plead with you, give your heart to him fully, even this morning. Give him your heart. He wants your life, he wants your everything, and he deserves it. Because if you don't, you will be found out, just like Ahithophel was. I'll guarantee it, you will be found out. So friends, give him your heart, give him everything. Don't hold back. Don't put anything in the way of that friendship with the king. He has to be first. Or like Ahithophel, you will be found out. But Hushai, let's go and look at Hushai now. And this is what I want to major on. It's okay, I've been told by my son not to be too long today because of the weather. So we will see how it goes. So to Hushai. Here was a man who, it says of him, he was a friend of the king. Oh, friends, don't you want that to be your epitaph at the end of your life? Friend of the king, loyal to the end, friend of the King of Kings. There's no greater epitaph, friends. Friend of the king. Hushai, his heart was engaged fully with the Lord. He held nothing back. And I want to look at three aspects of friendship this morning, friends, from this man and other things as well. The cost of friendship, first of all. the rewards of friendship and the strengthening of friendship. First of all, the cost of friendship. Let me say straight away, friends, this friendship with our King is not a cheap friendship. It was won at a great cost. It cost the Saviour his very lifeblood. It cost him everything for you and I to come into friendship with him. It is not a cheap friendship, friends. If we are casual in the relationship with this King, it is an insult to him. It is an insult to the one who gave you and I his very life so that we could come into this friendship with him. It's not cheap, friends. It's not cheap. So what's going to cost us if we are going to be true friends of this King? First of all, like Hushai, you and I are going to have to die to self-interest. Death is critical here. Hushai had to leave Jerusalem. He was prepared to leave everything behind. He was obviously either very old or disabled, because David said to him, "You are going to be a hindrance to me if you come with me. Go back and work for me in the king's house." Friends, just like Hushai was prepared to leave everything, you and I, if we're going to be friends of this King, we have to be prepared to die to ourselves, die to our own interests, die to our own ambitions, die to anything that will get in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ and our love for him. And there's much vying for our hearts these days. You youngsters, much that vies for your attention and your hearts. Make sure he's got your heart. Make sure, friends. Paul said in Philippians 3, I'm going to read this because I'll get it wrong otherwise. Philippians 3. He says this. If I get the right verse exactly. Philippians 3 and verse 6 and 7, I think it is 7 in particular. "Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ." Whatever was gained to me, and there was much gain for Paul, a man of tremendous intellect. Hebrew of Hebrews, it says in this passage, a man who was advancing beyond everyone else in Judaism. He put it all aside so he could be a friend of the King and serve the King. Friends, it's costly. There'll be things in your life that you will have to lay aside to be a friend of this King. Things that can get in the way of service to him. Things that can get in the way of what he wants for you and your life. And we have to be prepared to lay them aside. We cannot be true and loyal friends if we want to hold on to things that the Lord is saying you need to put aside. We have to put them aside. Just like Paul did. "Whatever was to his gain, I count as loss, compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus." Friends, if you are knowing him this morning, I'm sure that's your testimony. If you've only just begun to get to know him, get to know him more, because there's no greater thing in this life than knowing Christ, knowing the King. There's no fulfillment like this than knowing him. So friends, the first thing that we're going to have to do if we're going to be friends and remain friends of this King is we have to die to ourselves, to all our self-interest, to all self-promotion, to all self-exaltation, to self-interest, you name it. It has to go. Or like Ahithophel, you'll be found out. Secondly, we need to be prepared to suffer with the King. Hushai was prepared to go with David. It was going to be hurt. It was going to hurt him. It was going to be painful. He was going to suffer, because he was obviously not a man that could go on a long journey by the sound of it. And yet he was prepared to do that. Friends, we need to be prepared to suffer. And Simon brought that word last week about being willing to suffer rejection with the King. Are we willing for that in this day? The Lord, I believe, is going to call upon us increasingly to suffer with him. But you know what? That's the lifeblood of the church, isn't it? When we are prepared to suffer with the King, then the Lord will do amazing things, I believe. But we've got to be willing for it. We've got to be prepared for it. Are we willing to suffer with the King? Are we willing to suffer? We want to share in His victories. Hallelujah! I do. Share in His joys. Share in all the good things that He has. But He also wants us to share in His sufferings. He wants that, friends. He wants a people who will stand with Him in this day. Who will share with Him in the difficulties. In His rejection as King. Are you willing for that this morning? That's a fundamental for friendship. If we're not willing for that, then we cannot be true friends of this King. And friends, one positive here. If we suffer with Him now, we will reign with Him. We have a King who is returning. Just as David returned to Jerusalem, we have a King who is coming back. And He will return to reign, and all His enemies will be under His feet. And if we are willing to suffer with, share in His sufferings now, we will reign with Him. What a wonderful thing that is. Do you know what, friends? The Lord is no man's debtor. If you are willing to lay down things, what you get back will be far more. Both in this life, I believe, and in the life to come. He said that to His disciples when the disciples said to Him, Lord, we've left everything. Our family, our friends, our farms, everything, our fishing. And the Lord said, yes, and you will have, I forgot the exact words, but you will have much more. Both in this life and in the life to come, as well as sufferings as well. So friends, the rewards outweigh the sufferings and the costs, believe me. So next, one more thing I think for the cost. John 15 verse 14, let me read this to you as well. John 15 and verse 14. You are my friend. Well, let's go from verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love hath no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. And that's what the Lord Jesus has done, friends. He has laid down his life for us so that we can come into this friendship with him. And then he goes on, you are my friends if you do what I command you. If you do what I command you. The third thing I want to say about the cost is that we have to be obedient. Obedience to this King is key to friendship. If you love me, Jesus told his disciples, you will obey me. Don't tell me this morning, friends, that you love the Lord Jesus if you're not willing to obey him. It's not true. You've been deceived. It's self-deception. You're not a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're living in willful disobedience. I'm not talking about making mistakes, and we all do that, and we all fall up from time to time. But if you're deliberately setting your face on going a certain direction you know is wrong, then you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, friends. It's as simple as that. And those are not my words. That's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great King. Our great King. And you know what? 1 John 5 verse 3, won't turn to it for the sake of time, says this. His commands are not burdensome. Friends, when we love someone, it's not difficult to do what they want to please them, is it? Well, we have the King of Glory, the King of Kings, who instructs us in things, and we have to choose to obey him. But that's not a burdensome thing, because we love him, and he loves us, and he wants the best for us. So when he asks us to do things, it's not because he's a hard taskmaster. He's not. He asks us to do things because he loves us, and he wants the best for us, and he knows the best path that we can take. His commands are not burdensome, friends. But he does require obedience from all who will call themselves a friend of the King. And that's what Hushai did, of course. The King David said, go back into Jerusalem and just be my man in Jerusalem there. And that's what he did. He went, if you go and read the rest of the story, working with those that were there to thwart the advice of Ahithophel. And to delay Absalom to such an extent that he wasn't able to overtake David and bring about the demise of David. Hushai was obedient. Well, moving on, friends, to the rewards. The rewards of friendship. Praise God, there are rewards for friendship with Christ. The reward for obedience, first of all. The reward for obedience. Yes, it's continued friendship with the king. That's enough in itself, isn't it? That's enough in itself to be a friend of the king. But Isaiah 1 verse 19 says this: if you consent and obey, you will eat the best from the land. Friends, I'm telling you this morning, if you consent to your king and obey him, you will eat the best. There is the very best for your life. There will be no lack in your life. There will be nothing that you fall short in your life. Everything that you need, God will provide. Yes, things will be difficult from time to time. Life will be hard, possibly. But I can assure you, the provision that God gives you will be the best. It will be the best. He knows exactly what you need. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best from the land. You will eat the best from the land, friends. So there's the first reward. Abundant, perfect provision. We've been singing about his perfection this morning. Friends, his provision for you and I is perfect. It is perfect. John 15. Let's go back there again, if you probably didn't keep your finger in there. John 15. And verse 15, no longer, this is just following on from what I just read, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And then the next verse says this: no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Wow, that is amazing, friends, that the God of the universe, the God of creation, the sovereign Lord, would make known to his friends his mind, his heart, his thoughts. Friends, I find that amazing. I can't get near the Queen of England and know what she's thinking, but I can draw near the King of Glory. And he is willing. No, he's wanting. He's desiring, he's longing to have a people he can share with. Do you know that? He's longing. In this day, in this land, to have a people he can share with. And you know what? He loves to do that. He loves to share. He wants to share his heart. He wants a people who will share with him. Yes, in his sufferings, but in his joys as well. He wants to have a people who will share. And that is, I think, the greatest reward, to be able to share with our friend, the King. He wants to share with us, friends. He wants to make known to us. That's a revelation. God wants to reveal things to us. Isn't it wonderful? Well, in a sense, the powers to be in the nation are all over the place with this virus. We can know something of what God is doing. Friends, this is not a random event. If you're sitting here this morning and think this is a random thing, then you do not know our God, who rules in the affairs of men. He's either allowed this or he sent it for very real reasons. And one of the wonderful things of being a friend of God, a friend of the King, is that he can show us why he is doing it. I wouldn't say I know exactly why all he's doing. I know one or two things the Lord has shown us, shown me. But the Lord can show us things. He can show us and reveal to us why he's doing things. The Prime Minister of Britain, of the UK, I should say. Being a Welshman, I must get that right. Does not know why these things are happening. But little Joe in the field here, who's a friend of the King, can know something of why it's happening. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely astounding. God is no respecter of people, friends. He looks for the heart that is given to him. He looks for the one who is submitted to him. He looks for the one who's humble, who's given to him, so that he can reveal something of himself to them. So, friends, moving on. 1 Peter 4 verse 4 I've got written down here. Let's have a quick look at that as well, because this really ties in with that suffering of sharing in the sufferings of Christ. 1 Peter 4 verse 4. Says this. No, it's not that one for sure. Maybe it's. Oh, it's verse 14, that's why. Verse 14, same chapter. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed. There is blessing, friends, from sharing in the sufferings with our friend the King. You are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Friends, if we are willing to share in the sufferings of the King, then I guarantee this, the blessings of the King will be upon you. The presence of the King will be with you. His hand will be upon you. The Spirit of the living God will be with you, drawing near, comforting, strengthening. The Spirit of glory will be upon you. That's a wonderful reward, isn't it, friends? To know something of the Spirit of God in such a way. I long for more of that. May we come into more of that in the days ahead. And finally, one more. The fourth reward that we have if we are a friend of the King is like Hushai. The King will entrust things into our hands. He will give us things to do because we are his friend, and he trusts us because we've proven ourselves to him that we are willing to stand with him. Hushai was entrusted with this very dangerous thing to go back into Jerusalem. First of all, he had to keep it quiet. If this had got out, that was the end of him. It was very dangerous. But he did it because he loved the King, who was his friend. Friends, if we are friends of the King, loyal, true friends, he will put things in our hands to do. He will give us things to serve him with. May we know more of that in the days ahead as well. And then finally, how can I strengthen this friendship? How can you and I strengthen this friendship with the King? How can we strengthen that friendship with the King? Well, first of all, I want to ask, are you a friend of the King? If you're not a friend of the King this morning, there's nothing you can do to make yourself a friend of the King. He's done it all already. All you need to do is lay down yourself, lay down your heart and your mind and your pride, and give yourself to King Jesus and ask him into your life, and he will come in. But how do we strengthen that friendship? Well, we need, friends, to ensure nothing comes between us and our friend the King. There's so much today that is able to get between us and the King. The vital thing that friendship needs is time. Time. How do you spend your time, friends? How are you and how am I spending my time? A friendship that doesn't have time given to it is not going to last. It's not going to be built up. It's not going to endure, and it certainly won't deepen. Friendship that means anything, we will give time to. Are you giving time to this friendship, friends? Are you giving time to the King? Are you coming before him on a daily basis? Sharing with him. See, friendship is all to do with sharing, isn't it? That's fellowship with the King. He's looking for that from you and I, no matter how old or young you are this morning. The King wants your friendship, but you have to give him time. You have to be prepared to give him time, even when it's difficult and you think you're not getting much from the friendship. Friends, can I encourage you, persevere. Maybe the Lord's testing you. Do you really value this friendship? Do you really value this? Are you willing to persevere in this? Friends, give him time. Get into his word. because it's through the Word of God that He will share things with us. These things that I'm talking about, God sharing His heart and mind, don't just come out of the blue. If I'm in a casual relationship with the Lord, it's not going to happen. We need to be serious. And as I'm serious in this friendship with the King, as I'm sharing with Him, as I'm getting into His Word, as I'm before Him in prayer, the Lord is able to share things. It's not going to happen automatically because I've committed in my life to the Lord 10 years ago, 1 year ago, 5 years ago, and that's it. No, we're in a walk here, friends, with the King. We are walking with Him. We are walking with our friend, and He wants to share with us, but we've got to give Him time. Time is key to strengthening the friendship. We've got to be prepared to give Him that time, friends. We've got to give Him time. And then we need to guard our hearts as well from all that can come in. And there's so much more. Proverbs 4, verse 4. Let me read this. Perhaps the last verse that we'll read. Proverbs 4 and verse 4. Again, it's a verse I'm sure you've heard before. It says this. No, I've written the wrong verse down again, but never mind. It says, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your hearts, because out of it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Guard your heart, friend, this morning. Guard it. Watch what comes into your hearts. Watch what you're giving yourself to in this world. We have a cunning enemy who's very devious and very able to sow into lives and get into our lives. He will see any weakness that there is in our lives. If we're in an area that we shouldn't be in, if we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, if we're giving ourselves to something we shouldn't be giving ourselves to, He will take advantage of it. And He will weed His way into our hearts. And that friendship will be ruined. Or four. Proverbs 4 verse 23. Let's get this right. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says this. Watch your heart with all diligence. Watch your heart with all diligence, friends. A timely shot there. Watch your heart with all diligence. Are you diligent in watching your heart? Or are you rather casual as you go around your life? Indulging in things perhaps you shouldn't be indulging in. Friends, watch your heart with all diligence. Don't be neglectful. Don't be naive, thinking that you can escape unscathed by doing and dabbling in things you shouldn't be dabbling in. We have a cunning foe, friends. Watch your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Because the Spirit of the living God dwells in everyone who's committed their lives to Christ. Friends, are you a friend of the King this morning? If you're not, you can be. He wants you to be His friend. He wants you to commit yourself to Him. He wants you to be a true and a loyal friend. He doesn't want you to be like Ahithophel, who did not engage his heart. Be like Hushai. Give your heart to the King. Spend time with the King. Value this friendship that has come at such a great cost. Friends, let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for Your Son, our Saviour, the King, King Jesus, the King of Kings. We want to thank You this morning for the friendship that we have with Him. We want to thank You that we can know Him in such an intimate way. And we thank You for the cost that You were prepared to go to so that we might come into this place of friendship. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us not to treat this lightly. Help us to value this friendship highly. And oh God, help us to strengthen this friendship in the days ahead. Help us not to be lacking in diligence, but to be diligent in watching our hearts. Lord, we commit ourselves to You. Amen.